Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
ESPN 97.5.
All right, then.
KFNC.
Are you ready for this?
Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Let's do this.
Here they come, yo. Here they come.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey! How about the wiki-wiki? What? I watched the light. Still got it in there. It's a Monday on The Usual Suspects. Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio. Hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. Goodness, there's a lot to talk about, fellas.
What is
nothing
up?
To talk about.
What the hell's wrong with your chair?
I am so sick of the selection of chairs and the height that I grabbed a chair, I slid it over here, and then when I went to adjust it, it just dropped, and I went, you know what? Screw it. First segment, we'll wing it.
I feel like I'm doing the show with Webster.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Lewis or something over here.
See, then everybody is going to think that I'm black, too. Just like you.
I don't think you're ever going to be mistaken for that.
Wow.
Never
mind.
Yeah. No, that's not offensive. I'm just saying when it comes to soul. I don't think that's the first thing that people would associate Joel with.
I mean,
that's not a knock. That's not a negative. I'm just saying, it's just like I wouldn't associate you with mariachi music. What's the difference?
He's saying you have no personality, no color, no soul, no
cheese. Okay,
so it's a Monday, essentially.
Yeah.
Otherwise, for sure. No change.
Would you associate Nicholas with soul? I've seen him dance. Absolutely not.
So you're saying that in order to have soul, you have to be able to dance?
I'm just saying it helps. Rhythm is a key component.
Well, after all, rhythm is a dancer. So
you see?
There you go. In a nutshell, we've taken it full circle, and here we are.
Did you have a good weekend?
It was by the way, I want to get this right off the top. Happy birthday to my beautiful daughter, who is
happy
4
birthday.
Today. We had the birthday party yesterday.
Awesome. How'd it go?
It went well. I was worried about it, but it went well. We had a good turnout of kids and parents. The place that I think Lisa overpaid for actually took great care of the kids. They had a great time. And Taylor, on several occasions, screamed, "This is the best birthday party ever."
Oh, that's awesome.
And as long as she says that, then everything's good in the world.
Absolutely.
And then she woke up this morning and went, "Since today's my official birthday, I'm not going to school."
And did she?
And because grandma's in town, she did not go to school.
Wow. So she is definitely the boss, huh?
She is the boss. She rules. I sit there and I bite through my lip because since grandma got to town, my child has done a 180. She listens. She does everything. When grandma's in town, everything's up for review.
Really?
And she knows that whatever she disagrees with decision-wise, one of the two, Lisa or grandma, is going to go, "Oh, no, that's okay. She's okay."
Wow.
So I bite through my lip, just like yesterday, Lisa and I had the discussion that I think she's too young to paint her fingernails and her toenails. But for some reason, I don't know if she sees Lisa do it or whatever, but she's brought it up. But it's always been no, maybe in a few years. And I went to pick up food for everybody for dinner, and when I came home, I hear, "Daddy, look at my toes and fingers. Grandma painted them for me."
Mm.
And I looked at Lisa, and I was like,
That's not good.
No.
That's not good at all.
So I just
So you just get outvoted by grandma, and that's supposed to be okay?
Lisa's like, her grandma left the room, and Lisa's like, "So is that a bad..." I go, "We'll talk about it later." At this point, just file that, and I'm going to pick my battle.
It's step one into promiscuity.
And there's just no painted need fingernails. To bring it up now. Grandma's here till Saturday. No need to make a big deal.
Yeah. Well, good for you. That's probably best. Wait till she leaves and then just curse her out over the phone. Call her.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Just do it when she gets back to L.A. And then you don't have to, you know, you'll have plenty of time before the next time you see her.
Yeah. Yeah, not a bad idea. So that was the crux of the
Well, that's good. She had fun, though. That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. So her fourth birthday was a success. So that's always a good thing. We had people actually Bogart their way in.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know,
to
we
the
had
party?
A, yeah, so we had a guest list, and when you show up at the front door and you're on the list, so you check in, and then they, you know, you do all the things they want you to do, and then you go to the party room where the cake is and the, you know, all the it's set up for the kids to eat and all that stuff. And then as part of the package, the kids get a face painting done. They get a virtual reality. They get some other neat things. All of a sudden, I see some dude I don't know with his kid, and he's getting his kid's face painted. And I go, are you here with Taylor? And he goes, oh, yeah, no, I'm not. And I'm like, what? So, you know, this is part of her birthday party. He's like, well, what do you want me to do, pay you? And I was like, you know what, bro?
Did you bring a gift?
Stingy
bastard, get out of here.
Bring some pizza or something.
Yeah. Right? Then another kid and his mom showed up, and they brought his friend and her mom. And at least they admitted it. They're like, oh, we're just kind of sneaking into your party. Is that okay?
No.
And the little girl and Taylor started playing and everything that. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. And they actually tried. They ran to their car and found something that was
like a gift
that had not been opened yet that one of the kids had. They kind of brought it in. I was like, yeah, I'm never going to use that, but thanks.
Here
you made
we got
an effort.
We got you a crock pot. Like, yeah. Like, what?
But they made an effort. So we're like, you know what? Fine. We had plenty of leftovers. So.
Oh, that's good. Well, that was nice of you. I had to kick that other dude out. Take your ragged-ass kid and get out of here, you freeloading cheapskate.
Yeah, I think he was like that lady that steals wedding gifts at all the weddings in San Antonio recently. I forget if I saw that story or not.
What?
Yeah, this lady keeps going to weddings and just helping herself to the gift table and then sneaking out.
What's wrong with that?
I mean, if it's a good racket, if you can pull it off. But now they've got, not only do they have video of her, but they got her at the Home Depot spending one of the gift cards. So she's soon to be caught, I'm sure.
Oh.
But this guy, the way he was kind of scanning the room, it kind of looked like, okay, I got this party for tattoos. Can I get my kid some pizza and cake at another one? Because this guy's on to me. So it looked like he was actually looking like, where's the next room I can move on to maybe capitalize before I get out of here?
Oh, you see?
There's always people with a racket, guys.
What a jerk.
Yeah.
I didn't have a busy weekend. I installed I got one of those Ring doorbells back on the Amazon.
Yeah.
What is it?
Amazon Prime Day?
Yeah, Prime Day or whatever. Mm-hmm. That was what, July?
That was a while back.
And I'm just now getting around to installing it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you're just now getting it delivered.
No, it's been sitting opened on my counter for weeks now. I got that installed. That went smoothly. And nothing, I don't know if that happens to you, but nothing I do when it comes to home improvement projects ever goes smoothly.
Really?
That's shocking to me.
God, no.
I figured you're such a handyman that you just put everything together in a heartbeat.
Self-proclaimed handyman.
Okay.
Yeah. See, that's shot came from him.
Yeah? No?
I mean.
This from the guy who's probably never installed anything.
Really?
Yeah.
Because Saturday before Grandma got here, I took apart an entire toilet and put all the guts in.
Oh, what?
And did all that. And it's not the first time I've done that. I just didn't feel I had to bring it up and brag about it on the radio because it's an everyday occurrence.
I'll tell you what, IKEA will make you feel like an engineer.
Well, you can
they make it so easy.
You can put an entire couch together with an Allen wrench. Yep. It's like, I am the man.
You know there's something up when everything is assembled with an Allen wrench.
Oh yeah. That's nerve wracking. But I got the Ring doorbell installed, which is pretty cool now. I dig that.
Told you.
Yeah. I don't know why this took me so long to get one
of
those.
It's badass.
I really like it. And then just happy to report that we got rain at the house.
Oh.
I know this has been on people's minds that it's been bothering everybody. But of course it took me having to run the sprinklers for 16 hours.
Ah.
And then I wake up and it's raining. My sprinklers are running while it's raining. I was so pissed.
That's nice.
That now I'm going to get an $800 water bill, and I didn't even need to do that because it rained. I was just like, well, this is weekend sucks. This is the worst.
Nick, it worked. Look, we prayed that it would rain right when you put your sprinklers on, and it worked.
It's like washing the car, right? Yeah. As soon as I do that, I was like, I'm going to hold out. Anyways.
That never fails for me. Every time I wash my car, it's going to rain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of sporting action this weekend. Did you do anything fun, by the way?
I did not, man. I just stayed at the house. I really didn't do anything.
That's good.
Didn't attend any sporting goods? Any sporting events? You weren't like front and center for the JH Town weekend?
No, I did not. I did go to the game yesterday, but Friday, Saturday, I just chilled.
You saw the big extra innings base hit by Kelly Oubre that decided the softball game? That's fantastic.
What?
Yeah, so Kelly Oubre, I guess, evidently hit the game-winning single in extra innings in the softball game.
And at the JH Town?
At the Harden softball game, a part of his whole weekend. It was at U of H. Harden ripped his shirt off and decided to take a victory lap, and it was on social media, and they were all tweeting it. I think Ben DuBose actually liked it, tweeted it, and then tried to blow it up.
Masturbated to it?
Possibly. Wow. But at the same time, I'm looking at all this going, really?
Tested out loud?
And then for Harden to have to also speak on the fact that, because Westbrook played, on how I just wanted people to see the other side of Russell so they can like him.
Really?
Yeah, and he had to explain, on the court, he's mean, and he's this, and he's that, and he's the other. But I just wanted people, I'm glad he's here, because I wanted people to see the other side of him, that he's a good dude.
I don't know. I kind of feel like if you say that out loud, you're admitting that he's an a-hole.
Possible. Right?
I mean, right when the first presser, the Westbrook presser happened, he was like, I want people to think that I'm a nice guy. I mean, that
right. Is that what he said?
He did.
I mean, that right there tells you people think you're not a nice guy.
Yeah. Like, and you're at least he's self-aware enough to know that.
Yeah. He said, I want people to know off the court.
Because I've never come out and said, look, I want you guys to hang out with Joel when we're not on air because I don't want y'all to think that he's an a-hole like he is on air. I've never done that. And because I don't, you know, I wouldn't call you out like that and point it out.
I have, so I don't even want to speak on it. So, I mean,
you're pointing out that I am?
Yeah,
I know.
And I don't know that I used a-hole. But, I mean, at the same time, it's a family show. But, no, I mean, we'll see. I didn't attend any of it. I know there were supposed to be lots of guests, and it was all weekend. And it was, I don't know if it was supposed to be a big deal or not, but that was going on.
What?
The whole Harden weekend.
The softball.
Oh, yeah.
There was like a concert slash comedy deal slash this slash
softball. I mean, didn't you go to it back in the day?
No.
He didn't have it back in the day?
He didn't have it. Oh. Now, back when I was, they had the Tracy McGrady weekend. You went to that? Because T-Mac had a ring. He wanted to have a ringer team in the tournament.
Really?
So he's like, every year, Joel's on my team, and then we're blah, blah. I was like, okay, cool. But then.
Wait. So, no offense, but if I'm getting a ringer, I'm just going to get other NBA guys.
No, not basketball. This was softball.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was basketball.
No, it was softball. And T-Mac obviously played for the Skeeters. He was big into baseball. Uh-huh. He only wanted guys on his team that could play.
Okay.
And he took it seriously. And then as part of it, there was like a comedy show. They had, and it was at the Improv. And I want to say, and one year they had a guy that just completely torched all white people. And it ticked off some of the sponsors and it got...
Was he black?
Yeah.
That's shocking.
I'm trying to remember.
So unlike black comics
Eddie
B?
No, it wasn't Eddie B. I'll look it up. I'll tell you.
Griffin?
Eddie Griffin. It was okay. Eddie Griffin. Yeah, and Eddie Griffin was not holding back.
No, he's funny.
And some dude was like in the audience,
getting mad,
clapping back, and we're like, "No, bro, don't do that."
He's professional.
Yeah. But so the T-Mac softball weekend was always a big deal, and we participated in that. But Harden started doing this after I left.
So. There you go.
All right, well, we're just getting started. There's some other things that might have popped up that you guys want to talk about. This weekend, like tweets from other radio. No, I mean, like the fact that shockingly, Andrew Luck is no longer in the NFL as he's retired. The Texans are in desperate need for a running back. The Astros swept the Angels and lots more. So if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, our number is 713-780-3776. That's the HRNP listener line. You can call that line. You can text that line. You can also reach us via Twitter where it's at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at The Producer Nick. We're the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5. And before we hit the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Twin Peaks. Look, I know that everybody's talking about this Andrew Luck situation, and a lot of you had fantasy football drafts coming up. Well, while you're trying to figure out details on what to do with that, you should figure out the fact that the best place to hold your fantasy football draft is one of the 5 Houston area locations for Twin Peaks. Why? Because it's made from scratch food, whether it's appetizers or main courses. It's 29-degree draft beers served always that cold at the bar at your disposal, and they are delicious. And of course, those beautiful Twin Peaks grills are there to help you in any way, shape, or form, as well as put every game on every screen that you want to see because they have all the satellite packages, all the sports packages, and all the screens to accommodate your needs. It's just the ideal place, if you're not going to have the draft at home, that you should go to. They always say eats, drinks, scenic views, but they're not even kidding. It's that for fantasy football and more when you reserve your draft. Eats, drinks, scenic views, and the best place for fantasy football, it is Twin Peaks.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I'm going to retire. This is not an easy decision. Honestly, it's the hardest decision of my life. But it is the right decision for me. For the last 4 years or so, I've been in this cycle of injury, pain, rehab, injury, pain, rehab. And it's been unceasing and relenting, unrelenting, both in season, both in and off season. And I felt stuck in it. And the only way I see out is to no longer play football. It's taken my joy of this game away.
So that was Andrew Luck.
Damn.
And the whole crazy scenario that we kind of started getting into last segment was, while the Colts were playing at home in their exhibition game this weekend, Adam Schefter tweeted out that Andrew Luck was going to retire from the NFL. And I think there was a lot of disbelief, but then as more and more information became available and more tweets kept coming out, it became more like inevitable instead of impossible to believe. He walks off the field. He gets booed, which was ridiculous.
Pretty classless.
Then he has an impromptu press conference. Credit to him. He didn't have to do that. They could have staged it the next day, set up a big deal. He just went to the podium and addressed it and handled it. But the way people reacted tell you a lot about what's going on with sports fans, society in general, and just overall, because there were a lot of people extremely butthurt because their team was losing their quarterback and they were pissed.
Yeah, it's pretty classless when you boo a guy that, you know, played and gave his all. And of course, you know, people are, well, but he got millions of dollars. Okay. And he also sacrificed his body, which is why he's having to retire. Somebody on Twitter made the great point. Take a look back at guys like Earl Campbell and then tell me that there's such a thing as walking away too soon. If some guy wants to make a decision that he doesn't want to put his body through the ringer because he wants to be able to be healthy somewhat when he's in his 50s, I'm not gonna knock a guy for that. Yeah. I mean, first of all, we're talking about a sport. Mm-hmm. We're talking about entertainment. And, you know, I mean, to his credit, he put his well-being and his mental and physical well-being above money. And how many people can say that? So I thought it was classless of the Colts fans to boo a guy like that.
Did you see the video? The guy's taking off their jersey as he's walking by and just disrespectful.
Unbelievable. It would be the equivalent of, you know, if Justin Verlander just up and decides he's going to okay. Like, why? I don't understand. I've never understood fans. And, of course, there are people that are coming out and saying it was about the timing. I don't know if you saw Steve Berline.
Yeah. Oh, he went off.
He was like, I'm a huge fan. There's no scenario where retirement is defensible. Says who? You're not making his decisions for him. But he talked about just go on IR. You're disappointing your teammates and your fans. No one makes these decisions based on their teammates. When it's time to go, when you've decided, you go.
I was going to say, when you get done with the game and you can't walk, do the fans have to deal with that? Do your teammates?
Yeah, your quality of life is all changed.
Yeah, your quality of life is just all about you. Nick, you had a list of all the different injuries this guy's endured in the last like 3-4 years. And seriously, that has to be factored in. But the main thing is that this is one man's decision. It's his life and no one else's. And I don't think people factored that in or just kind of digested that.
Yeah, I saw six different injuries, and there's probably more. I mean, there might be more. I just saw six just from what I saw online and on Twitter. But I don't know about you guys, but I like my kidney, and I don't like it lacerated.
Yeah.
I don't.
Kidneys are kind of cool.
They're not meant to be lacerated. And if you go through a lacerated kidney, I want to know how you react, sir.
Right.
Like, that's just unbelievable. Plus the concussion, plus the calf injury that hasn't seemed to go away.
Mm-hmm.
I think, Joel, you've always said calf injuries are a solid, six to eight weeks.
But here's the thing. He said he's still in pain.
Right.
Like, at the press conference, he goes, and they don't know exactly what the cause of all of it is. Just know that when he's walking, let alone running, let alone trying to play football, he's in pain.
Yeah. That you can't. That's the thing is, like, I've never understood when guys want to come out and chastise somebody else for doing something where part of what they're doing involves the physicality of something like football.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know what? Everybody handles stuff like that differently. Everybody's body reacts differently. And the fact that he's been fighting through it and trying to get back. And at some point, it's not even about the physical. I think this is as much about the mental side of it, too, where it's just exhausting.
Okay, think about it. For the last 4 years, 12 months a year, nonstop, you were dealing with injury.
Yeah.
Some sort of injury, whether you were in pain, whether you were rehabbing it and it was supposed to get better and every day was better, but you were still there, or you came back and then got another one.
Yeah.
Because that's what he's been dealing with.
That's it.
And for people to not understand that, and look, I know there are ass clowns out there that want to make a name for themselves that looked at this as a big opportunity to be that guy that said that, that was a tough dude, that got followers and got people to listen and people to watch.
You talking about
that's idiotic.
Camel juice?
No, but and look, we're not going to steal any thunder. Look, you guys were all tweeting us during the course of the weekend. We got it. AJ's going to handle it. Don't worry about it. We don't want to steal his thunder. Look forward to that first segment of the Blitz, maybe the first 10 segments of the Blitz, but look forward to it being very concisely put
47.
So that the juice, not OJ, but the local juice can take what...
By the way, did you see OJ?
And then OJ Simpson was in there. Social media pissed off.
He's like, I just drafted you. You could have done this an hour and a half ago.
Yeah, there were those people, too, led by O.J. Simpson.
I did retweet that and say, boy, Andrew Luck better up his security detail if O.J.'s mad at you. That's not good.
No. And then you got Doug Gottlieb, who's done this kind of thing before, okay? And Doug Gottlieb played college basketball. And remember now, he was real critical on some things there. Yeah. People said, remember when you stole from your roommate in Notre Dame and got kicked out and did some things? But then Gottlieb said, retiring because rehabbing is too hard is the most millennial thing ever. Hashtag Andrew Luck. And bless Troy Aikman. It may be the first time in my life I've said this. Because you know I can't stand him and Joe Buck. But here's the thing. Aikman responded and said with the full word, that's total BS, Doug. What qualifies you to decide how someone should live their life? So now you're the authority on what motivates Andrew Luck. And if his decisions don't fit into what you think is best for him, then you rip him. Guess that keeps you employed on FS1. Nice.
Wow.
Take that and go to bed. You're dead, Doug Gottlieb.
Yeah, good for Troy Aikman. These guys that are coming out trying to say this was a bad decision or whatever, it's asinine, and it's just guys looking for run. It's just.
And I'll say this too.
When we get back to, by the way, I wanted to play some audio that Lauren Lill actually is the one that I saw tweeted out, but it's Andrew Luck on the field getting sacked. This is it amazes me just how good of a dude
I've seen some
this
of his mic'd
is.
Up and he's just
wait
the
till you hear this.
He's the
it's amazing.
Guy.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So there's more on the Luck situation coming up. If you want to join the discussion, 713-780-3776 HRP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Obviously, a local kid too, so that puts a spin on it. I've seen a lot of people that have mentioned things about that we can get into as well. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's a Monday. It's a fun day on The Usual Suspects. We're already battling in the breaks, which means we're in rare form.
This bullpen slander, I will not allow it.
Yeah,
that's all we do is argue about the bullpen.
Barry's already identified the next Hector Rondon. We'll get to that later. So we were talking about Andrew Luck. Yeah. We were talking about his decision to retire and the ass clowns that were out there trying to make it personal and decide that their opinion mattered. But, you know, one of the interesting things as we continue the discussion is, did you see that Jim Irsay did not want a single cent back of the signing bonus, 24.8 mil, and basically said, no, we're good.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's classy. He's been getting a lot of heat for being classless and
in a lot of ways
part of the problem. And, you know, I've seen a lot of blame put on him, but if he's allowing him to keep the signing bonus, that's nice.
The biggest thing I would say about that is Andrew Luck turns 30 next month.
Mm-hmm.
In a year or so, when he gets all feeling good, not that it's inevitable or even possible
comeback,
but he could start thinking comeback. Yeah, and the last thing you want to do is be, and I'll give you the perfect example. When Calvin Johnson retired from the Lions,
mm-hmm.
the Lions got $1 million from him from signing bonus or some due money. He won't even go back to Lions games, make appearances for them, let them retire his jersey or anything. And he says, and he always says, and they know why.
Mm.
And then he'll let you know that it, in part, the, kind of do the research, but this is the deal. You don't want to be that guy if you're Jim Irsay and watch Andrew Luck go somewhere else and come back and beat you and the rest of the league and be as good as he can be. So smart move also by Irsay from that standpoint.
I would agree with that, because the way I understood it is that that was money already paid to Andrew Luck. They had the right to reclaim
some of it
because he retired.
Yeah.
So like, it's already off the books. You've already felt the pain of giving up that money already. Like, why would you go back and reclaim it? I think in Johnson's case with the Lions, that's just way cheap. I mean, $1 million.
Yeah.
Like, give the guy $1 million, bro.
And there was another guy that could have come back.
Especially for what he's done for your team.
Yeah. And he thought about coming back. And then it was teams inquiring about, can we get him? Because he didn't want to play for the Lions anymore. When he was just kind of contemplating it. But the other thing with Irsay is, leave it there and you look like a great guy.
Yep.
But then don't go tweet and go, I mean, this guy just walked away from literally $500 million. And it's like, Jimmy, you know, you should have done what you did and just walk away. But when you tweet that, okay, great, we get it.
What was the context of it? Because I could see him pointing out that, look, you know, he made a decision. And, I mean, a fact is a fact.
His context was... This is how much he had remaining on his contract, and you figure that, and then take what his per year salary was going to be based on what the average salaries are. He's basically walking away from $500 million.
Did he start the tweet with, this guy's a dumbass?
I'll find it for you.
$500 million?
Because, I don't believe dumbass was huge.
Because just pointing that out, I don't think that's a big deal. I think that might be people trying to stir something up, especially if he's out here on one hand saying, keep the 24 mil, we love you, thank you. He's not going to come out and then bash him or make fun of him by, oh, he's walking away from $500 million.
I mean,
he was probably just stating a fact that, look, this is how bad it is. No, is he's willing to walk
that's
away.
That's exactly what he was saying. He was saying that if this guy's willing to leave
it
from $450 million, $450 million, then that tells you how the situation that he's in. Yeah, that's what he was. That's exactly what the point was.
That's what I thought. But I mean, if he, you know, I don't know because I didn't see the tweet. But
I saw the video. That's exactly.
I didn't see the video. I saw what he tweeted. And what he tweeted didn't have that kind of context or explanation to it. It was just essentially, here's a guy walking away from this, and this about $500 million. And obviously, he can't say everything he did in the video. I didn't see the video, but I was just like, Jim, you did a great thing. Just leave it. Just kind of settle for a little bit.
Check this out. So we've got some audio. I teased it before the break, but Lauren Lill is the one that I saw tweet this. But this was some different mic'd up plays where Andrew Luck. This gives you an idea of the kind of person he is, and you kind of know this already when you hear him being interviewed or you hear him talk about anybody, anything. I mean, he just seems like a genuinely good dude. This is Andrew Luck. Every time he gets sacked in this video montage, he just had something nice to say to the guys.
Nice hit, big man. Hey, nice hit, buddy. Oh, nice hit, man. Good hit, big boy. Yeah, buddy, good hit. Thanks, man. Hey, you're a menace out there, boy. Good job, my boy. Nah, you're fine, man. It's football. You know what I mean?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
This dude down here is just getting shellacked and hurt. And he's like, no, you're good. That's a good hit. Boy, you're a menace. Like, he might genuinely be the nicest dude in the NFL. And then so that's part of why I was like, man, that just sucks that he's getting booed by a bunch of idiot fans.
Andrew Luck is certainly the whole package. Not only is he really good and he makes the team better, he knows exactly what to say when to say it. And not every quarterback is like that.
No, and I'm sure that other people are complimentary on the field, but damn, that was like, who's that nice? If you sack me, I'm not telling you good job. I'm be like, hey, hole.
He's like, you're a menace out there.
Yeah, you're.
But Nick, you may have hit on something too, because not only is he that intelligent of a dude when you're talking about just in life and in general and all these other things, but he was smart enough to realize before it's too late about his football career and what he might be heading for. He just got married. You know, now he's a family man. I think they got their first on their way. And it changes things. But at the same time, he's also hurt. You have to be, you know, completely out of date with any and out of touch with anything in society to not realize CTE is a real issue.
Mm-hmm.
All the guys that he knows, that his dad knows from all the way back when his dad played, to say, hey, look, these guys can barely walk. Mm-hmm. Some guys can't think for themselves. Some guys are contemplating suicide. I don't want that.
And like you said, he's hyper intelligent. I mean, Stanford guy.
Yep. Graduated.
Yeah, but just a really intelligent guy who's got, you know, tons of money, and he still has his faculties about him, and he can still move around, and he's still somewhat healthy physically. Man, I'm not going to begrudge a guy that says, you know what, I could keep doing this and maybe get $500 million, but what good is that if I have a permanent limp and you know, hip replacements and shoulder replacements and all? What good is that? If I could walk away with, I don't know what his net worth is. Let's just throw out a round number. Let's say he's got $60 million in the bank saved. I'm good with that. I can live on that. I'll be fine. Especially because I could see him, as nice as he is, I could totally see him being the next Romo.
Oh, yeah. In the booth?
100%.
Just the way he
studio
talks.
Or in the studio.
The studio,
maybe in studio. Just the way his delivery is not fast.
You wouldn't expect Romo to be that good either.
No, but Tony's always been like, he can speak very quickly too. And obviously press conferences are tough sometimes, but he's kind of like deeper voice, big pauses, things like that. So in studio may be better than being a game analyst, either way, he's intelligent enough to do whatever he wants.
I was going
to
say, I bet you they'll, and he's the kind of guy that could learn if they're like, hey, you just got to speed it up a little bit with your analysis. Trust me, he'd be able to do that.
Sure.
I would listen. I think he would be good. He knows his stuff. He's smart, you know. He doesn't come across as someone like, you know. I mean, I like Troy Aikman and all that, but sometimes it's a tough listen. I don't know that Andrew Luck would be like that, but that's just my opinion.
So I mean, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. You know, the other thing was people were saying, well, now the Texans are the front runners for the division. Well,
not after losing Lamar Miller.
Yeah, that's the other thing. So I'm watching Astros. I'm following up on the Luck information. I was going back and forth to the Texans game, and then all of a sudden it's like, boom, you want local breaking news.
Golly.
That is the worst news that they could have possibly been involved in that Lamar Miller gone for the year, torn ACL.
And MCL.
And I don't know. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, saw MCL along with the ACL.
And on top of all then you got Al Michaels coming out during the game and saying, and the Texans have signed Joseph Ajayi.
And he didn't.
And then all of a sudden, then McClain and everybody's out there going, no, they didn't.
That's just a rumor.
Yeah.
Ajayi, I saw Adrian Peterson. I saw trades for Melvin Gordon with Clowney. There's a bunch of rumors out there. No telling what's going to happen. I wouldn't mind AP or Ajayi. It's just, you know, Ajayi is probably not going to stay healthy.
Right.
That's just his.
That knee, they've said there's no cartilage left in it.
Yeah. Peterson, I think, would be interesting. You know, he'd come home. But I felt awful. You kind of think, well, you know, at least they went out and already had a backup plan with Duke Johnson. But now if that's your number one, if that's the guy you're counting on, a guy that's never really been counted on, changes.
Well, it's like Lamar Miller before Lamar Miller. You're talking about a guy that's been a good third down back, that's been a spot back, but now you're asking him to do so much more. And there was a knock on Miller about, could he stay healthy? So now you got a guy coming off an injury, and you're not just asking him to play the role that he's played in the past, but now you're thinking he could be your every down guy.
Yeah.
And that's a big, you're going to, you know, they're going to be scouring the rest of the league to try and figure out. And I heard Lance going on with John this morning, kind of go, who's the fourth or fifth option at different teams that might still have something left in the tank? TJ Yeldon was mentioned.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and the Packers also in that mix, so I hope the Texans step up. Just a lot of names of retreads, and you're going,
I haven't seen anything about Zach Fulton, because that was an injury that I saw. I kind of noticed right away, the way Watson hit him in the knee, that wasn't good either. He was carted off later. I haven't seen anything. Have you seen an update on Fulton?
Okay. I have not.
I'll try to find one at the break.
So lots to talk about there with the Texans as well, not to mention the fact that they were absolutely obliterated in Jerry World. Shutout. That was an ugly game to watch as well. So we can talk Texans, we can talk more, but we're going to continue to roll on at this point.
Hey, guys, if you're not using GetUpside, you're crazy. You're wasting money, man. You need to download GetUpside right now, put it on your phone. You're going to love this app. It gets you cash back for stuff you're already paying for, like gas and food. Check this out. I was in the app today because I needed to stop and get gas. And I was looking at the food selections, and guess what I saw? Dunkin' Donuts right there. Oh, man. You can get up to 35% cash back at Dunkin' Donuts. It's on now. You can try that Popeye's chicken sandwich that the internet is going crazy for and get up to 35% cash back on it if you can find them. They're sold out a lot of places. But, hey, the cash back savings is legit. It works on the gas as well. You can get up to 25 cents a gallon. Over 500 gas stations around the city, Exxon's and Shell. So it's not some mom and pop of watered down gas. It's legitimate gas stations. And there's really no catch or no gimmick. So there's no reason for you not to be using GetUpside. And when you do download it, put in my promo code Barry and you'll get a little extra bump on your first fill up through the app. And I love, love, love all the listeners that are telling me the money they're getting by using the app. So what are you waiting for? I'm using it. AJ uses it. Nick, Aaron Raybould, Jake Asman. There's tons of people at the station using it. There's tons of listeners using it. If you don't have it on your phone yet, you're wasting money. So go do yourself a favor right now. Download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
It's very difficult to lose a guy like Lamar for a lot of reasons. You know, he's a great pro. He's just an awesome guy in the locker room. We didn't play or coach very well, but that had an effect on our team because of who Lamar is, you know. And we'll deal with it. We'll overcome it.
That's Bill O'Brien immediately following the Cowboys-Texans game at Jerry World up in Dallas. And as you can expect, it was a very somber mood, and the question now becomes, who is going to be in that backfield? Who are they going to go out and try and get that may be able to help them depth-wise or otherwise between now and the start of the regular season with that big void left by Miller's knee injury?
O.J. Simpson.
No.
Okay.
It would be so Texan if they went and made a trade and brought Blue back for like a fourth or fifth round. Just to waste a higher pick than they should for a guy that's probably going to get cut and go, well, there's a guy that knows our system. We're going to go get him back.
So I tweeted about the rumor that was already surfacing. And then I saw Lance tweet this morning, which I thought was actually pretty interesting to hear him say. But he said that because somebody asked him, hey, are they going to go out and get Melvin Gordon? And this was Lance's response on Twitter. So I thought this was pretty telling. He said, I don't see the Chargers adding a guy who would cost a fortune when they still have to pay Bosa. Mm-hmm. Plus, if Clowney were to walk, Chargers get a late third comp, not ideal compensation for Gordon trade. So you would be trading Gordon for Clowney straight up, and then you'd lose Clowney and get a third round pick. So you basically just traded Melvin Gordon for a third round pick and 1 year of Jadeveon Clowney. So, I mean, it does make sense. The rumors immediately, though, hit again on Melvin Gordon. So, if you sweeten the pot, I don't know. That's going to be interesting. But the sad thing for me is that this is probably it for Lamar Miller.
Oh, bad, because he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year.
Free agent. This was a contract year.
Yep.
Free agent at the end of the year. At torn ACL and MCL. So he's going to have to rehab both of those. He's got to, he's getting up in age. It sucks. I think he'll come back, but I don't think Lamar Miller's ever going to be the same again, considering his age and everything else.
And I think from a financial standpoint, above all else, too, he's probably, to your point, not only is he not going to be the every down go-to back like he was with the Texans,
yeah,
but he's probably going to take significantly less money because whoever is interested in him is going to have serious reservations about the fact that that knee, like you said, at that age, which does factor in because now you're not as resilient and your muscles and your tendons and things don't bounce back as quickly. You're probably going to worry about him being damaged goods. He may end up being that third down back. It might be almost a role reversal. And now you see a guy that, you know, early in his career was kind of like a third down back and a spot usage guy that wanted to tote the load. Now might have to revert back to have someone paying him at the minimum to see if he's still got anything left in the tank to be like a third down back.
I mean, he was top 10 in rushing yards last year. So you figure if he had a good year, then he was probably going to get one more decent contract.
Mm-hmm.
And now with the injury, it's like, damn.
Well, and he would get multiple years. It would probably be a multi-year deal. Yeah. Now, no matter what he signs, it's probably going to be a one-year deal.
But now he'll be close to 30 before he hits the field again.
Yep.
So now you're like, damn, 30 for a running back is getting up there.
Yeah, he's going to have to take a deal probably.
Yeah.
He's not going to get paid significantly. It's going to be like, we'll give you a one-year deal. If he miraculously has another year where he's a top 10 guy, I think that might set him up for another
couple more years. Not what it would have been this year.
It's almost like Boogie Cousins where he's going to be on a prove-it deal. Now, it's not two injuries in two straight years, but it is that deal where becoming a free agent while dealing with an injury, no one's jumping out to give you multiple years at a large sum of money. They're going to be like, hey, we'll take you for a year on the cheap, and if you prove that you're durable and you still look pretty good, after that we can talk about a couple years.
When he was 25, he got a four-year, $26 million deal. He would have been 29 next year. So you look at the Texans probably give him a two-year deal, three-year deal. You know, I mean, maybe in the neighborhood of $5 million a year or something like that. So you went from maybe, you know, 15 maybe 20 million to a vet minimum or something like that.
The other thing. Now, you know, on both sides of the equation, and the Texans don't have a very advantageous position either because we know there's only 1 week left in the preseason. But the other thing is, it's kind of a catch-22. If you're a running back that's stuck behind a couple of guys and you go, God, I'd like to go to Houston because I'm going to get the ball. But then I look at that offensive line and go, and maybe by the end of the first or second week of the season, I might be on the IL too because that offensive line has to open up some holes in order for me to be effective. And right now it looks like they've got more issues than they do problems solved at different positions.
That was the ugliest football game
that was terrible
from a Texans team I've ever watched in my whole entire life.
Disaster.
I just kept saying, put Deshaun down as quick as you can. Don't even play him.
Especially after the injury, yep. I would have immediately, time out. Okay, everybody, all the ones, get your ass off the field right now. We're not doing this. Because you lost Miller, and then a couple plays later, you lost Fulton, which, by the way, I saw in an article and then had several people tweeting it, but apparently Mark Berman was suggesting that Zach Fulton's injury was turf toe.
Okay.
So that's a lot better than the knee injury that it looked like at the beginning, but still, turf toe can linger. That can cause an issue. It sounds like not a big deal. But sometimes turf toe can be an issue for folks. It's painful. Yeah. So,
but again, and now you're looking at a coach that's also your pseudo general manager that needs to go out and try and figure out what you're going to do at running back. And you also have to look at what's out there for linemen. And I know that when you're talking about what teams are going to get rid of at the cutdown date, and as we approach that, it's really a lot harder to find offensive linemen that are going to be able to be, you know, pick in place and put into your system and let them and get them to be effective. But literally anybody that's on the street after cutdown day may be better than three quarters of the linemen they have on the Texans right now.
So what do you do? What do you do in that? I mean, assuming the Clowney situation, all right, they're done. We want to move on from Clowney. Do you trade for a running back or do you trade for an old lineman or do you trade for a receiver that could potentially be on the other side of DeAndre Hopkins? I mean,
here's the one thing I was going to say because I know you're gearing up to say something. The biggest thing is everybody's going to say Trent Williams. Well, the Redskins, as of this morning with Jay Gruden, said it's still very unlikely, was his direct quote when people were asking him today at practice, do you see a scenario where you're going to get rid of Trent Williams? Very unlikely. So unless you can make a trade, because at least then you know you're not taking someone off the scrap heap that someone else didn't want or tried to recycle, that you're getting a quality player, it's a lot tougher to find because, as Lance always says, if you got a good offensive lineman and he's on a team, that it's in the team's best interest to hang on to him and not let him walk.
Yeah, but if he doesn't want to play there.
You can't
he's
help
the only
that
guy,
either.
Though, that might be able to help them because other, what I'm saying, like, for guys that are being cut from other teams.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be at the same level as what you got right now that you're trying to get rid of.
I mean, maybe not, though. There might be teams that are better off at the offensive line position where their third guard or tackle is still better than any of the depth that the Texans have. So you might upgrade your depth. You might upgrade, you know, some of these. I was watching, or Lance had posted something about the offensive line and pad level, and you watch and you're just like, geez, you see exactly what he's talking about, and it's bad. It's really bad. And, you know, what I suggested when it all went down and you had these different scenarios for running backs and you mentioned receiver Nick and everything else, to me, this all starts and ends with that offensive line. It doesn't matter. You could go out and you could add any running back that you – if you got Melvin Gordon, what's Melvin Gordon going to do behind this terrible offensive line? Probably not much, and maybe, like Joel said, get hurt again. Mm-hmm. You could add another receiver, but if Deshaun Watson doesn't have time to throw to him, what's the point? To me, and this is why – I mean, this is why people invest in their offensive line and defensive line, because that's where everything starts and ends. Everything starts. Look at the secondary for the Texans and how bad it was because there was no pass rush. And like, it's just to solve their problems, they need to start with that offensive line. So, yeah, you need to worry about depth behind Duke Johnson, and that's going to be something that they look at. But my entire focus would be on that line. And if you don't want Clowney or he's not going to be here, go get a lineman.
I would be more open-minded to that anyway, because I feel like with the running back situation, if I'm a coach, I would enjoy the challenge of finding that running back that nobody was talking about. Perhaps he was undrafted and turned out to be a great, you know, running back, and then use Clowney for something else, mm-hmm. like the O-line or wide receiver.
I'm more along those lines.
Yeah,
because
that's what I'm
saying. Melvin Gordon, as you astutely pointed out, for many reasons, doesn't make sense. But if you can use a Clowney to get a Trent Williams, then I'm
that's
all
right.
for it.
And add a Jai.
And if you could add a Jai off just
that's
straight
exactly
off the street,
it'd
be fantastic. Or you get a guy like P. Ryan that a couple years ago was in the Heisman discussion at Oklahoma that just can't find the right opportunity. He's a young guy that might have plenty left in the tank. Or just one of those type of guys, then I'd be good with it. Because we all know the life expectancy of a running back is tough anyway.
Yeah.
But if you get a guy with fresh legs that wants an opportunity, that's a lot better than trying to give up the farm for a guy that's got to run behind
and
that line.
Look, don't sleep on the fact that Duke Johnson knows that this could be an opportunity of
sure.
a lifetime for him. He just maybe stumbled into a starting gig that could get him paid.
Yeah,
no doubt. Hopefully Duke Johnson takes advantage of that situation and says, hey, you know, this is my chance to shine. I've been waiting for this. I've been stuck behind guys like Chubb and Cleveland. This is my chance.
Dude, you hate being stuck behind Chubb. So with that being said, we've got one in the book. Still got 2 hours to go. The second hour of the show is coming up right after a few messages. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.